Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another wonderful week of Health Talk. Today is November the 7th. Winding down, getting closer to the holidays, getting closer to Thanksgiving, getting closer to Christmas, the end of the year. And this time of year is when people start to think about family, they start to think about their friends and who's getting together for Thanksgiving and all of the wonderful things that happen during this time of year when you can buy gifts and give and receive and spend time with those you love. But also people start reflecting on their health and where in the direction that's going, whether it be it's time to shed some pounds, whether it be it's time to detox, or just say, you know what, I want to do something different. And so, you know, we're here for that. We're here for just to give the information of how your life can be impacted when you make the necessary changes that need to be made. And when you understand how and why a lot of things happen to us, there's plenty of times that we continue to go to the medical system and they just tell us, oh, it's hereditary. So we just take it with a grain of salt and say, okay. Or you have to have this. Or there is no other way. Or there's nothing else we can do for you. And we kind of take those answers and we look at it like a death sentence. And what we really end up finding out is if we look inward, all the answers are there. Healing happens on the inside. Spirituality happens on the inside. So a lot of times we look outwardly to these people that have our best interests at heart, but our gut tells us something different. And that is that the Creator put us here, which means He put everything for us here to survive. And He didn't do it in the form of a prescription drug. He did it in the form of nutrition. He did it in the form of health. And eating the plants and vegetables and the things that were put here. And somehow along the way, we stray away from that. We stray away from that from a child when we start getting introduced to foods that just taste good. And then we even have it indoctrinated into our minds where we will say, I want something good. But most of the time, it's something bad. And so, you know, there's a shift that happens within our bodies where we accept damage. We accept our bodies being in chaos because we have decided to take what's good over what's great or what you need. Or we decided to substitute bad for good subconsciously so it doesn't seem as bad. But we still have to deal with the consequences of it. So the one thing that we really have to focus on is ourselves and how we feel, what we have ignored, what we actually make pretend we don't want to know. But we have to accept those things because one day they will come home to roost in the form of any particular illness, any particular disease, or just a conglomeration of things that will happen to you over your lifetime. So that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And my very best friend, one of my mentors, somebody that I grew up watching and learning from, on this call every week, I just got a phone call from my dad that he passed away suddenly. Don't know none of the details, mostly of because I'm not there. Just been getting some phone calls. But this is why we do this. This mission forwards. This mission pushes on. And so there's more people that have to have this message. And there's only a few of us, a few hundred thousand of us, delivering this type of message. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to have everybody on the line. And I'm really excited about tonight's call because you have a dynamic testimony a testimony that will change your life, a testimony that will really make you pay attention to what we call struggle every day, but then you hear somebody else's. And don't get me wrong, somebody else's testimony should never minimize what you have going on in your life. But somebody else's testimony will give you that hope and that inspiration to say, you know what, if they're going through their storm, I can go through my storm. And that's what inspires me. Coupled with a good support system, a good team of people around you, that's the best thing in the world that you can have when you're going through a storm. But the other thing is you have to understand that it's all part of a journey. You don't look at a storm as a setback. You look at it as a learning for the journey ahead. You look at it as an obstacle as opposed to looking at it as an obstacle. Look at it as a stepping stone. It's just something that you have to get on top of. And once you conquer that, then you get to the next one. So that's what this is all about. And I want to go into our topic for today because it's near and dear to my heart. I lost my mother to cancer before I had a lot of this information, before I had learned any of this. I had really just been thinking that, you know what, I know what I know, and I thought that that would be enough to help her, and it wasn't. And in 2011, she passed away from uterine cancer, but one of the things that she told me before she passed away was, never ever let this happen to anybody else. And so that's kind of where my mission started. And 8 months later, I have been on this road, which has now turned into almost 7 years of studying and understanding and really harnessing what I've been given in a sense of this journey. So I'm excited about it. And one of the biggest topics of things that we hear day in and day out is about cancer. More people are getting it. More people are having to deal with it. You see so many things from these races and walks and all of the things that go on. And we still have a growing rate of people who are affected by cancer. And so I really want to go into cancer as a whole, and then also we'll touch a little bit on breast cancer because that seems to be the biggest one that is kind of out there. When you're wearing the pink and all of that, I mean, you're looking at it from a sense of surviving, but also most of the time and a lot of times it's people dealing with breast cancer. And so I do want to touch on that. And really what cancer refers to is a group of diseases in which cells deviate from the usual controls that regulate cellular growth and reproduction. They begin to multiply more rapidly than is normal, invading and destroying other body cells. Cancerous cells can spread and metastasize from their primary site to other parts of the body through the bloodstream and the lymphatic system. The most common form of cancer is the carcinoma. This is a tumor that originates in the skin, in the epithelial tissues that lines the body, or in the glandular tissues, such as the breast or prostate gland. Another type of cancer is the sarcoma, affecting connective and supportive tissue, such as bone, muscle, cartilage, and fat. Melanomas are a type of skin cancer. Lymphomas affect the lymphatic system. And leukemias are cancers of the blood-forming organs. So a lot of times we hear a lot of these different terms, but don't know what part of the body or what it is they're affecting. Causes of cancer is largely attributable to the cumulative impact of toxins on our system. Notice it's a cumulative impact of toxins on our system. External factors such as polluted air, water, and food, which play a major role, as do microscopic pathogens in our internal environment, such as parasites, fungi, bacteria, viruses, toxic chemicals, including heavy metals. They say genetic tendencies also, and also your immune system weakness comes into play. Psychological factors are also believed to affect the incidence and course of cancer. Lifestyle factors. Over half of all cancers have been linked to lifestyle factors, with some estimates as high as 70%. Prime among these factors is the altered state of nutrition. There's that word again. We talk about nutrition every week and what it's going to do for the body and why the body needs it. More than 60% of all women cancers and 40% of men's have been attributed to nutritional losses incurred as a result of modern farming and food industry practices. Before the 1940s, most food was organically grown. And isn't it amazing how you got to put that food is organic on it now? When back then, that's the only way you grew stuff. Then the widespread introduction of pesticides, fertilizers, antibiotics, monocrop farming changed the face of agriculture forever. And with it, the health of consumers. These changes were coupled with the increased promotion of processed foods designed for long shelf life and addictive taste, but filled with empty calories. Today, chemically grown and denatured foods and drugs are the norm. These include such poisons as processed meats, caffeinated teas and coffees, soft drinks, liquor, tobacco, certain meats, white sugar, white flour, and margarine. Modern diets create a state of chronic toxicity and slow down the organs elimination system, the bowels, the kidneys, liver, lungs, and skin. Poisons eventually accumulate around the weakest organs and set the stage for the development of cancer. Three ways an inadequate diet harms the system are through nutrient depletion, free radical damage, and a shift in pH levels. Nutrient depletion may be the result of gross deficiency of certain nutrients over long periods of time. An analogy can be drawn between the body nutrient supply and the reservoir of water. Ideally, a reservoir should be full and able to trickle over slightly. When levels are lower, people can still fish and boat quite comfortably, but at a certain point, the water is too low for these activities to take place. The same is true in terms of a person's nutrient reservoir. It can be significantly reduced without producing any symptoms, but once it reaches a certain level of depletion, the disease process begins. The average American diet lacks sufficient nutrients to keep the reservoir full. A healthful diet is high in potassium and low in sodium, for example, but processed foods reverse this ratio. So people need only between 600 and 700 milligrams of sodium a day, but one fast food meal supplies them with over 5,000 milligrams of sodium. And when I talk about sodium, I'm talking about the processed things that are put into foods, not your natural salt like your Himalayan sea salt or kelps or different salts that are healthy for you. Also missing from the average diet are enough essential fatty acids, such as your omegas, your omega-3s, and also your omega-6. Now, your omega-3s are found in deep fish and in unsaturated oils such as flaxseed oil. Instead, people get an excess of acid from too many animal proteins. This combination of factors sets the stage for the development of cancer. Modern farming practices make breakdown of the what used to uphold the body, but they have depleted essential trace elements from our soils. A lack of selenium, zinc, chromium, and magnesium in foods grown today has been implicated and increased the incidence of cancer. So these minerals that used to be in our soils are no longer in our soils anymore. And without these protective nutrients, free radical damage goes unchecked in our system, and abnormal cell reproduction can lead to cancer. Now, heredity, which they will tell us plays a role, albeit a very limited one, in determining who gets cancer. Researchers have shown that some people are more prone to this disease than others because their cancer-causing genes, known as oncogenes, are more readily triggered. It should be stressed that while a genetic tendency predisposes a person to cancer or to a condition, it does not mean that the condition will necessarily be manifested. One thing about the DNA is that diseases do not pass through DNA. Hair color, eye color, skin color, pigment, height, the way your eyes look, nose, mouth, fingers, all of those things are traced through DNA. Diseases are not traced through DNA. So that's why everything can be set up for you to have a particular disease based on your mother having it or your father having it, but you do not have to get this disease. Educating oneself about the factors that increase the likelihood of cancer can lead to a lifestyle decision that decreases the chance of cancer appearing. While rules of good health are universally applicable, a person who's genetically predisposed to cancer would be especially wise to abstain from smoking, to eat whole food diet supplemented with anti-cancer nutrients, and to learn to deal with anger constructively. There's also a psychological connection. Experts that study the mind and body connections, a field known as psychoneuroimmunology, find that depression, hopelessness, a perceived lack of closeness to parents, or an inability to cope with life are associated with increased cancer risk. Some researchers even talk about the type C personality. They describe this cancer-prone type as someone who feels that he or she is living the life that others have dictated for him or her rather than the life that he or she would like to be living. And I'm sure we all know that. Emotions are suppressed and anger is held inside. Of course, this is a generalization and should not be used as a fatalistic explanation of cancer or as a way of blaming the victim, but it's certainly something that should be paid attention to. When we talk about the different types of symptoms, the people that treat the disease early have a better chance of survival. Their list of 7 early warning signs in adults includes, and these warning signs are extremely important because we miss them a lot of times. Change in bowel or bladder habits, unusual bleeding or discharge, a thickening or lump in the breast or elsewhere for men and women, an obvious change in a wart or mole, a nagging cough or hoarseness, a sore throat that does not heal, or indigestion or difficulty swallowing. For children, indications are marked in change in bowel or bladder habits, nausea and vomiting for no apparent reason, bloody discharge and failure to stop bleeding, swelling, lumps or masses anywhere in the body, unexplained stumbling, a generally rundown condition, and pains of persistent crying for no apparent reason. So that are some of the telltale symptoms that if you start having those, you really need to pay attention to it. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about treatments. And most of the major ones that we know of course, is chemotherapy. So a patient basically is diagnosed with cancer and told that chemotherapy is his only survival, hope of survival. Frightened and confused, this person places full confidence in the doctor's expertise and undergoes a costly therapy that can produce side effects worse than the cancer itself. The hope is that the ends will justify the means as the tumor shrinks and disappears, never to return. What the patient does not realize is that in most instances, his or her assumptions are not based on sound studies supporting chemotherapy effectiveness. Historically, chemotherapy has helped patients overcome a small number of cancers only. It has prolonged the life of children and young adults with rare cancers such as like a childhood leukemia or later stage Hodgkin's disease. Some effectiveness has also been seen in certain common cancers such as an ovarian cancer in women and testicular cancer in men, as well as Duke C, which is a form of colon cancer that spreads to regional muscles and lymph nodes. In small cell lung cancer, life can be extended from several weeks to several months. But outside of these instances, there is no proof that chemotherapy increases life expectancy. Chemotherapy's use far exceeds its proven effectiveness. The number of cancer patients cured by chemotherapy is in the range of 2 to 5%, but about 50% receive this treatment. The logical question to ask would be, if chemotherapy has such a low success rate, why is it so often used? A doctor by the name of Ralph Moss, he's the author of Questioning Chemotherapy, which is a very good book, he explains that most people confuse decreased tumor size with disappearance of disease. The association appears logical, but no proof exists to support the connection. Interestingly, alternative therapies are criticized for not demonstrating patient success according to scientific standards. But why are conventional therapies exempt from the same rigorous expectations of alternative therapies? The answer appears to be economics. While the cost of natural protocols is usually nominal, chemotherapy treatments can run into the six figures. Bone marrow transplants, for example, which combine high doses of chemotherapy and radiation, cost an average of $150,000. While the patient may not benefit from the chemotherapy, the drug company investor surely does. From a business point of view, chemotherapy is profitable. It is a commodity. And so the more people who use it, the better. And this is the one thing about this insurance fight that's going on. Because insurance for your car is wonderful. Most people don't have $60,000, $40,000, $50,000 to replace a car. Your house, you have homeowner's insurance. $300,000, $400,000, $100,000. Most people don't have that laying around to replace a home in the event that something happens. Therefore, you do need insurance. But when you talk about the state of in which we use insurance for our health, what insurance means is that you're going to get so sick that you can't afford to take care of yourself. And then that's when the system comes in and they say, okay, go ahead and get all the treatment you want. So they will pay for you to stay sick all the time. Just like this chemotherapy, you continue taking it and they continue to pay for those treatments and you continue not to get well. But the minute you tell them, hey, I have a particular alternative that I would like to try, oh, we don't cover that. And you could really become healthy, and it's nominal in the cost of chemotherapy, so then you're forced to pay out of pocket. And that's why most people don't do it, because either they can't afford it, or two, they've been slammed so hard about the alternative side that they just give in and say, okay, well, let's go ahead and take this chemotherapy. It's free, or I got a copay, and we move on. Alternative approaches to prevention and treatment. For over 50 years, billions of dollars have been poured into cancer research. The results haven't been forthcoming, though. Today, 1 in 3 people get the disease, and in the near future, it is predicted that 2 out of 5 individuals will be affected. That's alarming. For a $100 billion industry, which is cancer research, the numbers keep getting worse. Reversing the trend will require taking an entirely new approach to research and treatment. Instead of continuing to view cancer as a single disease in need of a single cure, cancer must be addressed as a complex phenomenon since multiple factors are involved. Diet is extremely important. Eating an organic whole foods diet, drinking plenty of pure water, ensures us valuable nutrients and keeps the bloodstream pure so that cancer is unlikely to develop. If cancer is already there, these foods give the body the best support for overcoming the condition and preventing the recurrence. The following foods are particularly important for their cancer-fighting properties. And I remember when my mom first got cancer and I started looking at different foods and looking through different books, this was some of the things that I had read and it made sense to me. But it absolutely wasn't enough because, again, our soils are depleted of nutrients, which is where the fruits and vegetables grow. And so if the soils don't have the nutrients, the fruits and vegetables don't have all the nutrients. So therefore, we're eating a already depleted, healthy diet, if that makes sense. But alkaline foods are very helpful, along with alternatives as far as supplementation goes with the selenium and all the things that I mentioned earlier that are missing from the soil. But eating alkaline foods balances the pH of the blood, which in turn inhibits the proliferation of cancer cells. Alkaline foods keep the blood pH in its ideal range between 7.2 and 7.4, which is important for the prevention and treatment of cancer. Ideally, the diet should consist of 80% alkaline-forming foods, such as those available from many raw fruits and vegetables, as well as some seeds and nuts. Among recommended alkaline-forming foods, fruits are berries, apples, apricots, avocados, bananas, carrots, dates, figs, grapefruit, grapes, kiwis, lemons, limes, mangoes, melons, nectarines, olives, oranges, papayas, peaches, pears, persimmons, pineapple, raisin, raspberries, strawberries, tangerines, and watermelon. Lemons, contrary to what you might think, and melons are the most alkaline-forming foods. A good idea is to eat some melon first thing in the morning and then wait 20 to 30 minutes before eating other foods. Among the recommended vegetables, and I find that vegetables and research are better for you in a sense when you have cancer than the fruits. So you can eat the fruits, but fruits have some have sugar. And although it's fruit sugar and natural sugar, cancer cells thrive off of sugar. So if you have more vegetables than fruits, you tend to do better. Or lemons, things that are tend to be bitter to the palate are normally good for you. Things that tend to be really, really sweet to the palate are not, or not as healthy for you, I put it that way. Among the recommended vegetables are artichokes, asparagus, sprouts, beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, collard greens, corn, cucumbers, eggplant, endive, ginger, horseradish, kale, kelp, seaweeds, mustard greens, okra, onions, parsley, bell peppers, potatoes, pumpkin, radish, spinach, squash, tomatoes, watercress, and yams are some good vegetables to eat. So as we are thinking about how to prevent cancer if we already don't have it, a good idea is, of course, make sure that you're cooking with these foods or you're cooking these foods on a regular basis. Organically grown some, but one thing I want to clear up about organic foods are organic foods do not have more nutrients than non-organic foods. Organic foods just don't have as many pesticides or very little to no pesticides when being grown. That's the difference. So because you get something organic doesn't mean you're going to get more nutrients from it. You have to understand that it grows in the same soil as non-organic foods. It's just that, like I said, they're not treated, and they're off on a corner on their own, covered and greenhoused in different ways so that they're not affected by pesticides. In addition, alkaline-forming beans include green beans, lima beans, peas, string beans. You can use certain natural grains such as rice and quinoa. Alkaline-producing seeds and nuts are almonds, chestnuts, coconuts, seeds such as alfalfa and chia seeds. Sesame seeds are excellent, especially the sprouted sesame seeds. Cruciferous vegetables, in the cruciferous family are the kale, the mustard greens, the collards, the cabbage, the cauliflower, all those kind of hearty type Brussels sprouts. They contain compounds called indoles that act as a detoxifying agent. And indoles are believed to remove cancer-causing substances from the body. So this coming season, Thanksgiving, you make kale and you make collard greens and you just season it well and don't laden it with a bunch of meats that's going to take away from it. But your cabbage and your cauliflower and you know, those particular things, eating those on a regular basis will help the body as well. And fiber isn't necessarily bad either. But it's important. It's an important component. And fruits and vegetables always are your best bet. Another thing that you want to stay away from are oils that you're going to heat. Heat over, like, frying oil, whether it be olive oil or canola oil. A lot of these vegetable oils in a bottle are a problem. And until we can wrap our heads around that, because people think, oh, I take my olive oil. Those oils are fine by themselves, but the fact that they're in a bottle, when you pour oil out of a bottle, there's a level of oil, and then the rest is air. When you put the top on, you trap air in that bottle with the oil. We know that air has moisture in it, which is water, and we understand that oil and water don't mix. So basically, the air in that bottle with the oil causes the oil to oxidize. And you'll see people sometimes say, well, I'm going to put my oil in the freezer. And that works okay until you take it out and it starts to defrost and the molecules of air that were in there that were frozen then become liquid again and you're still adding moisture to your oil. So the best thing to do is stay away from oils altogether and use butter. And I know that sounds funny because the medical system tells us not to use butter, but if you want to believe them and let them tell you to use oil and you look at the incidence and rates of cancer increasing, then you do just that. But if you want to live like our grandparents and great-grandparents used to live, depending on our age, they ate with butter all the time. And butter actually has an acid in it called butyric acid, which helps regulate healthy cholesterol. Some of the other things you can do is you can juice. You can make juices, freshly squeezed juices, provide valuable enzymes and antioxidant nutrients that are easily digestible. One of the most potent juices for liver detoxification is a blueberry juice. While cabbage juice may help to prevent stomach and colorectal cancer, carrot juice is valuable for its high beta carotene and vitamin A content, but should be watered down as it also is high in sugar and can adversely affect the blood sugar. Adding a teaspoon of vitamin C to juices makes them into a preventative tonic because we know the antioxidant power of vitamin C. Green tea, which is the Chinese thing, and the Chinese have the lowest incidence of cancer. Routinely, they drink this beverage instead of coffee. Green tea counters the effects of radiation, keeps the pH of the blood balanced, and it's high in antioxidants. The ECGCs in green tea are what helps fight free radicals within the body. You have different types of mushrooms. and several mushrooms have extraordinary healing properties. The Maytag mushrooms kills cancer cells by enhancing the activity of the T cells, which are your helper cells, your fighting cells. Scientific studies report that this food's effectiveness is controlling cancers of the breast, lung, prostate, and minimizing the side effects of chemotherapy. Antioxidant supplements are also huge in fighting cancer. And those are your vitamin A's, your vitamin C's, your vitamin E's, CoQ10s, beta carotene, your essential fats, which we talked about before, selenium. And selenium is a trace element which is involved in DNA metabolism and the health of all cell membranes. Has antioxidant properties, promotes destruction of cancer cells, acts as an immunological response modifier, and plays a part in cancer prevention and treatment. Supplementation of selenium can improve the quality of life during aggressive cancer therapies. The suggested dose is 200 micrograms a day. The optimal dose could range from 200 to 400 micrograms depending on the severity of the cancers. SOD, which is much like a glutathione, and these antioxidants are frontline defenders against free radical damage and are especially protective of the heart, brain, lungs, kidney, and liver. And so with that, digestive enzymes are also important, because what happens is when you do eat certain foods or you are taking nutrition, if you cannot properly digest it and break it down, then you're going to have, it's almost like not taking it at all. And studies even show that enzymes modulate inflammation and that they can make and have a different effect on controlling soft tissue cancers. Types of enzymes needed by cancer patients include tropipsin, pancreatin, bromelain, which is found in pineapples, pampin, which is found in papaya. The bioflavonoid rutin may be of additional benefit when combined with these other enzymes. So I just pretty much went through a whole list of things that you can do in a sense of dealing with cancer, in a sense of fighting cancer, and even in the prevention of cancer. Herbs can be extremely important, which is your aloe vera. Aloe vera is an antiseptic and antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory. It supplies the system with amino acids, minerals such as calcium and copper and iron, phosphorus, potassium, and zinc. Aloe vera contains live enzymes. Its role in treating tumors, research shows, is due to its ability to stimulate phytocystic activity, which basically destruction of cancer cells. So there's plenty of ways, and I think one of the big things is that we get scared most of the time when they tell us we have a cancer, whether it be stage one or stage four. But if we just take a step back and we realize that what we would do ordinarily, which would be chemotherapy, does not have a high success rate. So when your doctor says, oh, this is something that you need to do, you can quickly rebut him and say, but the success rate is so low that I don't think this is something I want to do. Now, understand that you're going to probably make him upset or her. And understand this is something that you're probably going to have to do on your own. And I think that that's what scares people, because they go home, they turn the medical treatment down, and now they say, what do I do? And they start scrolling and going through the internet. Well, how much of this do I eat? How much of that do I take? And it can be very daunting. But the more you read and the more you understand and the more you invite family and friends who are dealing with these type of issues to calls like this, is so they get a whole different slant and they get a support system and a team that's going to support them. Because one of the great things that Dr. Joel Wallach has done, besides suing the FDA 9 times and getting nominated for a Nobel Prize and doing a lot of work in the sense of helping the United Nations and different countries with health, if you look at a lot of other countries, chemotherapy is banned. When you look at a lot of other countries, a lot of the genetically modified foods that are here are banned. It's only the United States that, and a few other countries that really just contribute to the destruction of their people in a sense of health. But along with that, this man has done over 20,000 autopsies, 17,000 on animals of 450 different species as a veterinarian, and 3,000 on humans for comparison. And so he's found age-old ways of destroying the body from cancer, or destroying cancer from the body through nutritional protocols. So a lot of the things that I named, he puts into a protocol, and you're getting the selenium, you're getting the copper, you're getting the vitamin C, you're getting the magnesium, you're getting the zinc, you're getting all the things that's needed in a protocol, so you don't have to guess. It's science-based, verified nutrition that's formulated in-house. It's all natural, so therefore you can go through and not have side effects. You have things like Z-radical, which come from the ocean. It's a red marine algae that destroys cancer cells. There's been over 1,000 studies done on it, from Johns Hopkins to Clemson University to Duke University. They've done thousands of studies on this fucoidin. And if you want to go to PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D, med, pubmed.gov, you can type in the word fucoidin, which is F-U-C-O-I-D-A-N, and any type of cancer that you have. And it will show you the studies that have been done on it and what the results of, or the, what the results were of how that fucoidin worked for that cancer. And this is what they do in most other countries. But here, for whatever reason, they have it out for us. But if you don't want to suffer and you don't want to go through the ravages of chemotherapy destroying everything in your body, you have to look outward, outside of the system. And you really have to feed the body what it needs to heal itself. And this is why, as I segue to why I'm excited about the testimony that you're going to hear tonight, is because when somebody decides that they have a problem, or finds out that they have a problem, it's not always the fact that you find out that you have a problem. It's what you do about the problem and how you rebound from the problem and the attitude that you have and the mindset that you have. And this is why it makes me excited, because when I met this person, I didn't even know they had cancer. And then after I found out, and watching them and looking at the type of attitude they have and the way they carry themselves every day, you had cancer? Really? And so that story is just amazing. And so I'm going to take a minute, and I'm going to let Keisha tell her story, because it's an amazing story and it's an inspiration to me and so many other people. Good evening, Keisha. How are you?
Hey, Donald. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Great. Hey, everybody. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. I hope you all having a wonderful evening. I love this Tuesday health talk, because I learn so much every week, and I kind of treat it like a class. I'm here in class every Tuesday at 7, learning more and more about my body and about issues that I'm going through, as well as what other people are going through. And just the education alone, it puts me in a different mindset. When people are talking to me, I can communicate effectively, and and hopefully help somebody. So I invite everybody to keep coming back every Tuesday at 7. So when Donald asked me to do this, I was so excited. But then I thought about it, and I got kind of nervous, and I decided to write some things down so I wouldn't forget to tell you guys everything. So if it sounds like I'm reading, it probably is because I'm reading. So I'm going to jump right into this. I was having lots of back pain, and I was seeking medical attention back in December of 2015. And nothing was made of it except for me having a bad back. So finally, it was bad enough for me to go to a chiropractor. And that was in the same month in December. It just kept getting worse and worse. And so he ordered a protocol consisting of about 12 to 16 weeks of spinal manipulation to kind of subdue some of the pain that I was having. I ended up submitting the scheduled visits to my employer, and I got verbal approval from my supervisor. And the day before my 10th anniversary with the company, my supervisor terminated me for calling out sick to attend one of the chiropractor's appointments that she had on her desk. I was so hurt, but I believe that God doesn't make mistakes. And so I looked at it as having more time to spend with my daughters, especially since my husband and I had separated about a year before that. I put on my big girl pants. I had about $10,000 to my name. And I thought that was a lot of money at the time because it was just sitting there before that and I didn't need it. But when it came down to me needing it, I found out that I could skate through $10,000 in less than 3 months paying all my bills. And that was even after condensing my budget to the necessities only. So I took the last part of that and I invested in a real estate license. I passed the licensing exams on my birthday, so it was great. And I was feeling so excited to jump into a hot market and make a lot of money. And that is definitely not what happened. The startup fees and the membership dues and all the office fees, that really, really deflated me. I was left standing there with a couple of dollars trying to make things work. So I found a third shift job in a stock room, and I started driving for Uber. And just, you know, just to make me ends meet. I was actually trying to hide my financial state from my children and my family so they wouldn't be too worried about me. And it was working, but I was super exhausted. I ended up connecting with Donald, and he initially introduced me to Pollen Burst because I would tell him how tolling it was working third shift, then going to the office during the day and sometimes staying till 6 or 7 p.m. and going home and taking a nap and getting up and going to third shift and coming home, taking a shower, going to the office the next day. It was exhausting. And I was literally working around the clock. So he suggested the Pollen Burst, and he gave a couple of packs to me out of his pocket. And I thanked him, and I really didn't think too much of it. And one night, I got really tired on my third shift job, and I remembered that Donald gave me those. And I went out to my car. I got the packet that he had given me, and I put it in my water. And almost instantly, I woke up. And I did that for the next 3 or 4 nights. And the people around me started noticing how much energy I had. They even at the office, I had energy all the way around. I was able to sleep soundly when I did get my naps, and it was great. And so many people noticed. So to this day, I swear by it. But my back was still hurting like crazy, and since I didn't have insurance. You know, I did everything in my will to just get over it and just, you know, live with the back pain and just work through it and try not to complain and try not to bring too much attention to it. So sometimes our bodies, they tell us things, and we either ignore them or we don't have time or the resources to figure out what's going on. And that's where I was. I just attributed my physical changes along with the aches and the pain to age, because everyone warns you about turning 40. And yes, I just told my age. I figured that my years of eating junk food without any real exercise regimen was kind of catching up to me. So I decided to go vegan January of this year. So January 2017, I decided to go vegan. And changing my diet actually helped a little bit. Plus, I thought I was happy because my husband was back in my life and helping me pay a few bills here and there. You know, we were, quote unquote, trying to make it work. Then, on the last Sunday of April, I was out driving for Uber, and I started feeling like I had severe heartburn and indigestion. I couldn't talk to my passengers, and that's when I knew something was wrong. My stomach was hurting so bad that I had to pull over twice trying to make it home. I took a couple of times and got in bed to sleep it off, and because that's what we used to do. Our parents used to sleep it off before they would take us to ER, because if you could sleep through it and get up and start playing again, then you was okay. So I still live by that today, and I know I shouldn't. So anyway, 4 hours later, I tried to go to the bathroom, and I failed. So my daughter threatened to call the ambulance if I wouldn't let her take me to the hospital. My appendix was about to rupture, and I had to have an emergency appendectomy that night. Before the surgery, though, they did a CAT scan that also revealed a tumor consuming 80% of my right kidney. The very next day, the kidney specialist came to see me and said he needed to remove my kidney, and he would give me about 2 weeks to heal before getting me back into the operating room. When I found out I had cancer, I was actually okay with that, because at least I had an answer to why I had been feeling so bad. What really hurt me more was when my husband left me a few days later. But as usual, I wore a mask of strength for my mother, who traveled from Michigan to be by my side, and my daughters, who were there every moment, every day to help me out. I went to surgery. I'm sorry if y'all hear background noise. I'm in a room that does not have a roof, so I apologize for that. But anyways, I had to get back to work prematurely to try to catch up, but it was like sliding down a muddy hill. I could not get anywhere. Things just kept piling up on me. Because after 6 weeks, imagine just having 6 weeks of no pay, and especially when you're living already check to check, that is just super, super hard to bounce back from. And that's exactly what happened to me. But I went to work 5 weeks. I went to work 5 weeks after surgery, and I worked really, really hard to avoid those shutoffs and getting evicted. I made it through the duration of my lease, and I made a conscious decision to move out of my home to avoid financial ruin. I did not want to continue digging myself deeper and deeper in debt. So that was a conscious decision. I made arrangements for my daughters, and they are doing very, very well. And but, you know, it left me homeless. Donald called me one day, and he told me that he would personally work with me to make sure this cancer did not return. So I've been taking my 90 for life, and I still swear by Pollenberg daily. Along with my dietary changes, I'm feeling great. I also started doing longevity as a business. And with Donald as such a super mentor, I'm excited to share longevity with everybody. I enrolled my mom and dad, who will be starting the detox in a couple of days. My daughter, who plays volleyball, she drinks the Rebound, and she also uses the CM cream for, you know, when her muscles are tight and everything. And my best friend just flew from Denver to see me, and she bought her ticket through Longevity Services, her flight. And I signed up for the roadside assistance, which I've already had to use once. And I won't tell y'all about that. It's embarrassing. but I personally just want to thank Donald Snowden and Longevity, because now I have a way to build my health and rebuild my wealth. I've also removed the other cancers from my life and all the cancerous factors, those things, the stress, the people in my particular case. And just the things that had me pinned down and getting me to a level that my body would try to take control of what was going on with my head. I'm sorry. Because this renal cancer, or, you know, better known as kidney cancer, is not an aggressive cancer, and had become the size it had become inside of me, I was able to trace it back to the majority of the back issues that I was having during work. So praise God that they decided to reinstate me with full seniority benefits and my pay rate. And I should be back to work by the end of this month. I'm so, so excited about that. But I want to say that I welcome my journey. I welcome it every step of the way. Because of my journey and what I've had to endure and the way that I present, you know, myself to just the world and other people, I have been able to become the co-author of a book called Unleash Your Shero. I am continuing my Young Moms organization, which is near and dear to my heart. And I use longevity as the platform to reach so many people. It really is the glue that binds. So if you draw anything from my testimony, please allow yourself to listen to your body and pay attention to your lifestyle and how it makes you really feel inside and out. And don't let those cancers eat you up. Stay positive, keep pushing, and that all things are part of your personal testimony and journey to greatness. From a lot of people say, you know, look at me and say that I've hit rock bottom, and I don't look at it that way. My faith has never wavered, not one day, and I know that I'm going to be okay. I have some very dear and special friends who reached out to me and have just reached into my life to encourage and support me daily. And I really appreciate that. And I can't wait to do it for someone else. And Donald, I think that's all I have to say.
That's a lot. That's wonderful. And I just, you know, want to thank you for being courageous enough to tell your story, because like you say, a lot of times when people, quote unquote, are going through things, they don't tell anybody, they don't want anything from anybody, they don't try to figure out how to get help. But you said that when you, instead of stressing about things and panicking about things, to find resources that can help you. And that's a testament to what you've done. That's a testament of how you lived your life and how you've gone through this journey. And most of the time, it's not always what happens to you, but how you bounce back from it. And when you feel like you're at the bottom, it only means that you got to create a ladder to climb up. And most people don't create that ladder. They just wallow in the quicksand at the bottom. But you have created that ladder, and for every rung that you've stepped up on has been a blessing. The trajectory of your life is in an upward swing, and it's almost as amazing as your field and your occupation, because it's like you're taking off for real life this time. You had a little kamikaze pilot mission, and you crashed hard, and you recovered, and now you're back on the runway, and that's what it's all about. Your passion and your dreams are still intact. Your life is still intact. Your family's safe. Your kids are safe. So you've done a wonderful job, but it's all because of your attitude. Attitude is an amazing thing. Perspective is an amazing thing. And your testimony inspires me, because then every day I think about my life, and I'm up late studying for this call. I got this particular project to work on. I got to call this person. I got to meet with that person. And I say, I still have to help my son with his homework or whatever it is that I might, or karate or whatever it is that I may have to do. And at the end of the day, I'm like, man, I'm tired. And then I think about you, and I think about people like you who are, you know what? They still getting it. They up driving 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They are doing the things that they have to do to live. And I'm like, what do I have to complain about? So, like I said, you never minimize your story because of somebody else's, but you find it as inspiration to push you and catapult you through your journey. And when you can understand that it's just a journey and it's all part of your common goal, if you have your goals and aspirations in place, you find that that you will go through things. My dad once said that if you're trying to do something big in life, you're going to go through hell, because you got to be able to identify with everybody along that path that you are trying to reach. And I always keep that with me. And I look at how my mentor has reached down to help me and reached out to me. And so it's always important, if you have goals and dreams and aspirations of doing anything in life, that you have a mentor, someone that you can look up to, someone that has been and doing what you're trying to do and has had some level of success that's substantial enough to be able to help you and pull you up. And so your testimony is a wonderful testimony, and it's not just about the cancer in and of itself. It's about the other cancers that are in our lives. And we talk about cancer earlier being a psychological thing, how we think, stressing about things. Not only that, but our diet, our health. So I am ecstatic that you took the time out to give your testimony, but to also say that you're cancer-free. And these doctor's appointments that you had to have because of the cancer, you will no longer have. You're taking your nutrients, you're taking your pollen burst, you're doing the things that you're doing to keep the free radical damage down in your body. You're eating the right fruits and vegetables and foods so that you can continue to flourish. Because we all have goals and dreams and aspirations, or at least we should. But a lot of times we can't fulfill those because our health will get in the way. And if our health gets in the way, then we start paying attention more to our health than the things that are important to us, the things that are passionate to us. And so to have someone, through all the things that go on when we talk about cancer and the rate of cancer and how it's increasing in America, to have someone be able to find out that they have 80% of one part of their body, one part of their organ consumed with cancer, and to have that cancer removed but then remove the other cancers, but then now also start doing the alternative things that will keep the body healthy, the things that we read about. They're not saying, okay, and the doctor not saying, let's keep it in here and let's do some chemotherapy and radiation to try to save it. No, they took it out. But guess what? That one that you have is as healthy and can be as healthy as most people with two. You continue to drink your good water. You continue to take your nutrition. You continue to eat well. And you continue to have a positive attitude. And that's the recipe for beating any kind of cancer in your life. So again, you know, this call is a call that is always important. I do this cancer call at least once a year. And it's important because it's getting worse and it's hitting close to home. It hit my mother. It hit, I'm sure, some of your relatives and family and friends. And it's coming around again. And so this call every week that we have is important. This is a recorded call. It's a radio show broadcast. So if you want a copy of the call, a recording of the call, after it's over, you text me. My phone number is 919-599-0916. Again, that's 919-599-0916. And you just type Health Talk Recording, and when the recording is done, I will send you a copy of it. Now, the last thing I want to cover along with this cancer and really talking about, especially this time of year, and really any time of year, but we're getting close to New Year's resolutions and people wanting to get healthy and lose weight. And I want to really explain to you how to take your body and build it in such a way that you can get the toxins out of the body. You can relieve the body of a lot of issues. But it's a system. And that's why most people don't do well in trying to take their health into their own hands, because they don't have a system. They go to a lot of different places or they get a lot of different information, but they really don't know how to implement it. And so one of the ways that handle this system is, first of all, no matter where you are in life, health-wise, you need to detox your liver. Because every single thing that you ingest, that you breathe, that goes onto your skin, gets absorbed into your bloodstream. And everything that goes in your bloodstream has to be absorbed through your liver. So most of us have very toxic livers. And when you have a toxic liver, that means your blood is toxic. And within your liver, you have these what's called stones. Stones are compiled within the liver based on the liver taking them. And it's really, the stones are equivalent to all the toxins and all the bad stuff that we've ever done to our body, the breathing in of the air, the bad water, the bad food, all of it, going to these stones. And when the liver is full of stones, it then releases them to the overflow, which is called the gallbladder. So the liver and gallbladder are connected by a common bile duct. And when the stones go over into the gallbladder, if they just sit there without being reabsorbed or anything done to the liver, those stones will calcify. And hence you have the gallstone. And then at some point in time, those gallstones will prevent the gallbladder from functioning as it should be. And if you go to your doctor, they will see that and they will tell you, oh, we need to remove your gallbladder. And if you know of anybody who's had their gallbladder removed, you ask them, what has the doctor done for their liver? Or what did the doctor tell them to do about their liver? In most cases, absolutely nothing. So now you have a toxic liver with no overflow. And the liver just becomes more ravaged and more toxic. You can get fatty liver. You can get cirrhosis of the liver. You can get jaundice of the liver. I mean, there's a large amount of things that can happen within the liver that affects our health, because if our blood is not clean going to all the other organs, then they fail. So that filtering unit being your liver is the first line of defense for the rest of your system. It's like that oil filter in your car. You keep that oil filter dirty and you continue to change your oil, your car is going to not run as efficiently as it should be. And if you continue to do it for a long period of time, then the car will stop running altogether. Same thing with your body. So once we detox the liver through a 30-day detox process, now a 30-day detox process does not mean that you're going to be in the bathroom for 30 days. A 30-day detox process means that the first 2 days, the first day you're prepping your liver, the second day you're excreting the waste from your liver and from your body. The third day you have may have a little bit more of that. The fourth day you're introducing foods that are designed, that our bodies recognize as health. You're introducing nutrition that our body recognizes as health. So now the liver is filtering good, clean blood. And then we figure out, based on your symptoms after the detox, because you'll find that a lot of symptoms that you may have will dissipate after your detox. People lose anywhere from 10 to 25 pounds in weight in a month from their detox. They lose inches off of their waist. They feel better. They have more energy. They feel more vibrant. In some cases, we've seen pre-diabetes cases be reversed because the lack of sugar in your diet during the 30-day process causes the body to come back in balance. Some of the high blood pressure can be normalized. So there's a lot of different benefits in detoxing the liver. And once we detox the liver, then we take a look back at the body and say, okay, what symptoms are we still dealing with, if any? And then we create a protocol around that, which is then taken by body weight. And the reason why you take protocols by body weight is to ensure that you're going to get the proper nutrition that you need for your body weight. People say, oh, I eat healthy. Okay, that's great. Well, how did you know how much nutrition you just got? When you eat a salad or a pot of greens and you get to the bottom of that bowl, it does not tell you how much nutrition you got. So therefore, you have to be able to dose your nutrition in body weight so that you understand that, you know what, I got the right amount. It's not like prescription drugs or over-the-counter drugs where it says take two from 12 years old to an adult. That's got to be the most backwards thing. Some 12-year-olds are 200 pounds and some 90-year-olds are 100 pounds. So you're telling one person to take two and somebody's getting enough, somebody's getting too much. You just don't know. It's a guessing game. But when you dose it based on body weight, you're assured that you're going to get the proper nutrition for your body weight. Also, we look at gluten intolerance. And gluten intolerance is another thing that's ravaging Americans. 80% of Americans are gluten intolerant. That's across all races. Gluten intolerance simply means that if you can't absorb gluten. Gluten is wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Pasta, bread, cakes, all of those things, starches, or pastas that have starch that turn into gluten, all of those things damage the small intestines. Inside the small intestines, there are these little finger-like villi, and these little finger-like villi are what catches nutrition particles that digest out of the stomach. And it catches those nutritional particles and it pulls the nutrition down into the bloodstream, which has to then go to the liver to be filtered. So if you're gluten intolerant and you're not absorbing nutrition, then that means the blood is going back to the liver without any nutrition, which means the liver can't be fed because there's no nutrition in the blood to feed it. These things are cyclical. The breakdown of health is a system. So in order to keep it healthy, you have to have a system. You figure out that you're gluten intolerant, and some of the early symptoms of gluten intolerance, if you have issues with asthma, eczema, constipation, or diarrhea, one or all four of those, you're highly likely you're gluten intolerant. And we find that the people, especially children or even adults who are gluten intolerant, once they get gluten out of their life and they go on a gluten-free diet, it goes away. The asthma goes away, the constipation goes away, the eczema, the skin starts to clear up, along with taking the essential fatty acids, which are your omega-3, 6s, and 9s at the proper ratio. That's extremely important. But one of the things that you find is that those symptoms start to go away. I don't care how long you had it, they go away because now you're not damaging the body system anymore. Those villi can grow back on their own. But what will happen is we'll ignore it and we'll continue to go to the doctors and we develop things like diverticulitis and ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And then you get to a point of celiac disease where you can't eat gluten at all. And even if you do try to eat gluten, you get violently ill. Or if you do develop things like diverticulitis, where the intestines, the small intestines, has been ravaged so bad that if you go to the hospital or to the doctor and they'll cut out sections of your intestines and then rehook up the new section, and then you got 10, 15, 20 more years, depending on how well you are with your diet, for that to get worn out. And then you go back and they'll cut more out. But those villi can grow back. You just have to stop what's damaging it. That's where the miss is between the medical system and nutrition and the holistic side. Is we tell you where the miss is. They tell you, oh, we don't know why this happened, but what we'll do is we'll cut this section of your body apart and we'll hook up the new section, and then hopefully that won't happen again. As opposed to telling you you're gluten intolerant, leave gluten alone, cut sugar out of your diet. So once you figure out if you're gluten intolerant or not, and if you're not gluten intolerant, then great. But you detox, you figure out if you're gluten intolerant. If you are, we cut out gluten. We let the body give a chance the body to become healthy. Then we start to add in the nutrition based on body weight. The symptoms go away because you're able to absorb the nutrients. And the reason why the symptoms go away and the body heals itself is just because you're giving it the fuel that it's missing. We can't get all of these vitamins and minerals and things from our food like we used to. So therefore, we must add some help. And that's what the difference is. And what we do is we just make up what you're missing that you don't ordinarily get from your food. So you get high-quality nutrition, and therefore now food becomes value-added. That's the exact same way they do in the animal industry. You see those cows and sheep and horses out grazing all day long. But nobody ever tells you that they get an alfalfa pellet every day based on their body weight that has 100% of their nutrition. So the grass and the hay and all the stuff they eat is value added. They don't get nutrients from those things. They get nutrients from their pellets that they put into their feed. So that approach works with humans as well. And then we find that people start to, within 90 days, can turn around most illnesses. Because in 90 days, the body has a chance to regenerate its cells. And when you regenerate new cells, if you're regenerating those new cells with all 90 essential nutrients, then all the cells in your body are healthy that have been regenerated. And that's a 90-day process. So when you talk about, or if you ever heard stem cell research, stem cells are the cells that you start off with when you're a child. And most of the time, those stem cells come out of the umbilical cord. The stem cells that are left over, and you can really reverse about 80% of the diseases with stem cell therapy. So not everybody's going to be able to afford a few hundred thousand dollars in stem cell therapy, but what you can do for about $4 or $5 a day is take the nutrition that you need, along with making sure your body stays detoxed. You do a liver detox at least every 6 months. Stand away from gluten, stand away from the bad foods, the fried foods, the sodas, and all the things that cause our bodies to fight against itself, and we introduce good, healthy nutrition, and it's really simple. And then when those 90 days worth of new cells regenerate with all the nutrition that it needs, the body will just heal itself. That's the great thing about the body. We always look for a cure. We don't need cures. We just need to give the body what it needs to heal itself and get out the way and don't introduce the bad things. We wouldn't put water in our gas tank if we really liked our car. We wouldn't put sugar in our gas tank if we really liked our car. So why do it to your body? And stop thinking that the insurance will take care of it, because it won't. It'll take care of the payment part, but it won't take care of the sickness and illness part. So I really, really appreciate everybody joining this call tonight. I hope it was valuable to you. I hope that you learned something. And especially if you learn something about someone else, because a lot of times we won't do things for ourselves. But if you say, man, I wish somebody was on this particular person, was on this call and could have heard these things because it would change their life. If that is it, or if it's you yourself and you need a recording of this call, or you need to have questions answered about your own health, I will set up a free, I will do a free consultation. I do it for people that are on these calls. And you call me and we will talk at length about what type of protocol you need. We'll talk about the detoxing and all of those things. And we will walk with you. We will hold your hand through this whole process. Our team is getting ready to do a big detox that starts on Thursday. And it starts Friday morning. But Thursday is prep day, and we're going to be running through Thanksgiving with a detox going on. But health don't take no breaks. You can't take breaks on your health. So it just happens that that's where it falls. But it's a team of us that's doing it. We're getting ready. We're going to do another, not me, but we have another team that's starting in January. So we do it as a group. We have meals that we all share with one another. We have a group text that we all put in, the same group, so we can communicate. It's a support system. Because when you're going through something new and something different, you need a support system. But I guarantee you, once you start feeling better, you'll start telling everybody. So, again, if you need to reach me to ask questions about your health or yourself or a family member or workmate or children, whatever it may be, you can call me at 919-599-0916. Or if you would like a recording of this call or this show, you can call me or you can text me also at 919-599-0916 and just ask for the Health Talk recording. And once the show is, once that's packaged, I will text it out to you. But don't ever hesitate to just call and ask questions. Next week, we will be here with a new topic, which is the 14th, and we'll be looking forward to having you on. We also use Facebook, where we send out reminders each week about the topic that's coming up, and the 14th topic is going to be about skin and how to make the, how to protect the skin, how to keep the skin healthy, because the skin is the largest organ of your body. And going into the cooler months, our skin starts to make changes, especially as it starts to get cold, and how we moisturize our skin and the things we don't put on our skin, like Vaseline, which is gas. Anything that's got petroleum on it is gas. So we, for years, been putting that on our skin. Our parents been putting it on our skin, and they wonder why we have crazy. No. But yeah, so the skin is going to be a big thing next week. That's going to be the next topic that we're going to be up against. And even still, you can ask questions about anything health related. So if even now, if anybody has a question about anything we talked about tonight or about yourself and you want to ask a question, you just press the number 1 on your phone and it'll cue me that you have a question and I will be more than happy to take your question. Pardon me, I'm scrolling down a lot of numbers, so just trying to see if there's anything that pops up. If you have a question and you want to ask a question, you just press 1. Okay? All right, well, there are no questions. So, like I said, next week, November the 14th, we'll be back here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I appreciate everyone who joined us tonight. Again, I hope the call was valuable. I hope you got something out of it. And I hope that you'll share this call to those who are important to you. Thank you so much, and have a good night.